This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Muthan, and you're about to embark on the complete Kelly and Company podcast experience.
It's full octane Kelly and Ramya with all the fixins.
Live from the Accessible Media Studios, this is Kelly and Company. Entertainment, lifestyle, and great conversation. It's AMI Audio's on-air community, and everyone's invited. And now, the big man himself, Kelly McDonald.
Hey, folks. Friday, we're starting to swing open the gateway to your weekend. Thanks for being with us. Ramya Muthan, my co-host in Toronto. And she's at her home studio. I'm at the home studio in London, Ontario. And Ram, it's been a real week here, and you really think about with COVID and talking the term hot zones and how the virus giving out vaccines is going to be changing, and what seems like sometimes decisions and discussions by the day. It's a little harder gateway to open this weekend, and still have a few things yet to talk about in this segment that are just not that cheery.
No, you're right, Kels. It has been a hard week. I mean, not that we don't recognize and celebrate the end of the week, but it has been one to digest a lot of things for people, I think, all around, all across the country for sure, and all around. So hopefully people have some of their own personal goals, achievements, things that they're looking forward to, either, you know, just a restful weekend or something else that they can celebrate. You can celebrate on your own and in your own life.
Yeah, for sure. And before we get into some of those other things, Ram, I also want to note that our Cut for Time segment, pretty new segment we've been doing on Fridays at the end of the program, but it has its challenges too with, I don't even mean a week because we've had so many different ups and down things, but on our program with the style of the show, there's so many things that you want to throw in and say, so many segments where you know, Okay, I've got to keep quiet here and let the guest speak, let them have the airtime.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, throughout the week, we have tons of things to say already. And it's not like at the end of the show, I'm like, oh, I could have talked more. Definitely never. But there are lots of times where I'm like, I know there could be so much to say here. And there are lots of things to say. But, you know, the contributors have tons of things to say, too. And their information that they bring to us a lot of times is so important, unique, timely, all these things that we don't want to miss out on because we couldn't stop talking for 5 minutes. Right, Kels?
Not to mention, we can always hear you folks, for sure, out there saying, shut up and let them finish. Or why don't you ask this? We know you're out there saying that, and yeah, we try hard to make sure that we give enough runway for people to do that. But it is a bit of a challenge, and we've had some great conversations. The roundtable for me, we were talking with Matt before the show opened, and some of the great comments and things that Jenny and yourself shared yesterday with me on the roundtable. And we just never know. Like we say with Billy, we never know where he's going to go. We never know what we're going to launch into those conversations that we hope are really rich with either information or at least a moment where someone says, yeah, that's not a bad point.
Yeah, well, some things never change. I mean, I thought maybe if I spend a few years on the show, you would trust me and give me some of the content that you'd like to share on the roundtable, but nope.
Coming up on today's edition of Kelly and Company as we swing open the gateway to the weekend, folks, Google's new R toy fulfills the childhood dream of digging a hole to the other side of the earth. Now, John Beeler, he's going to be along a little bit. Tell us a few things as he starts getting ready to dig his hole to the other side of the earth.
We're all digging ourselves into a little bit of a hole here. But let's talk about this other one. A woman from Montreal has designed a new seat so that people with disabilities can feel more comfortable when they're traveling. We're going to learn more with Karen McGee.
On the Chatty Bookshelf today, Ryan Huey discusses the book Thrivers by Michelle Borba, a work following the lives of children during the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll talk to Ryan and get the details on the book and more during segment, hour two of the program later on. As mentioned, a few things to get to, ladies and gentlemen, today. Messages of support for Britain's royal family are pouring in from around the world following the death of Prince Philip. Reporter James Lahman has more.
the Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Of course, Australia, part of the Commonwealth. The Queen is the head of state there. Malcolm Turnbull saying that the Prince embodied a generation that we will never see again, saying Prince Philip was no stranger to Australia, having visited our country on more than 20 occasions. We've had similar remarks from Norway's King, who is a second cousin to the Queen.
Wow. And we got scared, of course, when he went into the hospital in January. January, and just worrying and thinking, okay, at 99, what's this? A couple of months from being 100, and what a character. You're seeing a lot of, and if you have a chance to hear a lot of the clips that are out there, the reports and things, you'll learn so much about Prince Philip, stuff that long before our time, things that happened, things he's done, and see that respect that he certainly garnered.
I say the same thing about the years that he served and was part of this whole monarchy. It really did represent a generation, maybe more, but it really did represent this whole century of time that we won't get back. And I'm not sure how much of it we'll be seeing moving forward. And it sounds cryptic, but it really does make me think, you know, this, he represented that. That monarchy alongside the Queen. And I don't know what that's going to look like moving forward. We're seeing so many changes, Kels, in the last 2 to 3 years with Britain, with the monarch, with everything. And I don't know. But this definitely signifies that.
Well, and you look back because of his age, I think, too, and the time and everything you hear about Prince Philip, his personality, his almost like those moments where he had to be, hey, Philip, you don't say that. And the things of the past that we chuckle at now in our time, but certainly, I'm certainly sure at the times of things happening, you know, Philip, you know, they were certainly met with, hey, come on, you know, and he certainly got probably chastised for that and having to belong. So very sad loss, and our hearts, of course, and feelings go out to the royal family. We also note that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says that Canadians' thoughts are with the Queen, and her family has received a significant loss. The Canadian Armed Forces sent a message of condolence to the royal family as well, sending love from Canada. We have to look at the same thing because, unfortunately, the family of rapper and actor DMX is confirming his death at age 50.
DMX came into the rap game right at the top. His 1998 studio debut, It's Dark and Hell is Hot, started as number one on the Billboard chart. That multi-platinum disc featured the hits Rough Riders Anthem, Get At Me Dog, and Stop Being Greedy. In all, he dropped 7 albums, 4 of them topped the charts, picked up 3 Grammy nominations along the way. He starred in the 1998 movie Belly, as well as in Exit Wounds with Steven Seagal, and Cradle to the Grave with Jet Li. He and Li were also in Romeo Must Die with Aaliyah. DMX and Aaliyah even teamed up for a song on the soundtrack. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
So really, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about the up and down week. We're all in that strife with lockdowns going on and stay at home orders throughout our country and around the world. So really feeling that heaviness, and you hear something like this. And I used to always chuckle because DMX always reminds me of one of my brothers, just his voice and, you know, the talent. And
such some a unique voice.
Oh, my goodness. And whether so you're into unique. It or not, you kind of pick up the rap. It's, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's that.
Well, you know, it's DMX him on
guy.
There.
Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
Did you watch much stuff seeing him act? I mean, I've seen some of those,
no.
But never really realized that was him, I don't think.
No, I didn't. And I genuinely didn't even listen to too much of his music, but I knew that he was big into features. Like all those collaborations you're hearing just is a kind of surface level because he was totally into collaborations like that. And again, we're talking generations with Prince Philip, an era of rap and hip hop music.
When you think about age 50, very, you know, too young to be passing on, and you think, wow, and you hear Oscar Wells Gabriel give a list there of things that he has done, the credits, and you know, you say, wow, at least he explored beyond. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. Producer Jeff Ryman, he's going to bring us the latest lifestyle headlines as we're getting going on the Friday edition of Kelly and Company. Want to reach out to the network, you can do it several ways. Feedback at AMI.ca if you want to send an email. Maybe you have a question about AMI Tele, AMI Audio, or AMI TV. Great place to do it right there. You can also give us a call, 1-866-509-4545. Mention you'd like to leave the message for Kelly and Company and give us permission to use your message on air. Absolutely would love to do that if that's something you'd rather, and we'd love to hear your voice, of course. And out there on Twitter, at AMI Audio, a way you can also keep up with the programs, what's happening over here at the network and on each of the shows, and so much more AMI Audio news, at AMI Audio on Twitter. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, and let's welcome in the other producer for the show, or as I've been calling them this week, one of the other meeting blockers for me, Jeff Ryman.
Buffers.
From fashion to travel, pets, and more, we cover it all on the Lifestyle Report with me, Jeff Ryman.
See what I mean? She got right in there with the buffer.
It's buffers.
And it's easier to say.
It's right at the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Meeting buffers. Meeting. It's like a bullfrog. Ribbit. Hello, Jeffrey.
I prefer meeting insider, maybe. We give you a little bit of the details on what to expect. Oh. So, you know, there's a couple of different ways you can put it.
Well, unless you guys bring all depressing stuff from them, I mean, that's kind of like meeting bummers. It's just like, oh, good grief. Good gosh, right. Guys. I don't need that. Don't need to know that info. What do you got for us today, sir?
Yeah, so the first one here, this one got me thinking. It's about spring and flowers and gardening, sort of stepping into Susan's territory a little bit here. Although this is kind of like the basic gardening 101 for spring, and especially for newbies like me, who are fairly new to gardening and specifically lawn care as well. I kind of pulled a big dad move yesterday and started fertilizing my lawn. Very exciting, by the way.
Oh, I thought you meant you got your dad to come over and fertilize the lawn for you.
You know, growing up as a kid, I never really cared about my lawn or the garden. But now that I own a house, I'm like, all right, maybe I understand why my parents were always so, nitpicky and nagging me to mow the lawn. So I figured, you know, with the weather turning around as nice as it's been getting, especially right across the country and especially in our neck of the woods, I thought a little bit of a garden 101, I guess, would be something that a lot of people might be interested in on the Lifestyle Report. So, I mean, if you want to plant vegetables or if you want to plant flowers, usually in the next couple of weeks is typically when you do that. This article comes from the Canadian Press, but it does have an American angle and is written definitely in the United States because they reference Memorial Day. That's typically when a lot of people start turning to the gardens and start working outside on their house after some long winters. But of course, a lot of things vary for people right across North America, really, because Memorial Day weather down in California is totally different than what it's like up here in Ontario, what it's like in Alberta, in Newfoundland, wherever you are. It's going to be a little bit different. So the one thing that you want to take note, and this is probably the very beginning stage of planting and getting your garden ready, is trying to calculate the average date of the last frost. So you want to just type in on Google. You can look up your postal code, whatever it may be. Look at some history surrounding the weather in your area. Obviously, frost and plants don't go well together. So that's one of the things you want to look for before you start planting. And now I think that frost may be out of the way in some of the country. It's definitely not out of the way for everybody. So, you know, just hop on the old internet and just figure out when usually on average the last frost is in the spring. So that's number one. You also need to figure out what vegetables and plants to plant at the correct times, because vegetables and annual flowers can be grouped into the cold tender and the cold hardy categories. Cold hardy vegetables include onions, lettuce, arugula, parsley, spinach, carrots, parsnips, and so on and so forth. And some other vegetables that may fall under the other category can be categorized as, you know, your typical flowers. And also you can also throw into that summer squash, tomato, pepper, eggplants, some melons, cucumbers, beans, all those sorts of things would definitely be under a different category. So you want to make sure that you plant the right things first, and maybe you want to hold off on some of the other vegetables for a little bit later on, maybe when the weather is a little bit warmer, because some vegetables and plants can withstand a little bit cooler temperatures in April and May, and some plants may like it a little bit warmer, and maybe May or June or maybe even further past that. Putting it all together and how to relate all this to that magical average date of the last killing frost in the spring. First to go into the ground are the seeds of cold, hardy vegetables and flowers. Generally, they might be planted as soon as the ground has thawed. Of course, waiting for that last little bit of frost to go. Even cold, hardy seeds won't germinate well under the temperature off the top few inches if it's above around 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Figure on planting these seeds 4 to 6 weeks before the average last frost date. Next in the lineup are transplants of cold hardy vegetables and flowers. So set them in the ground about 3 weeks before the average date of that last frost. And then you want to follow this group with seeds of the cold, tender vegetables and flowers, which can go into the ground about a week before the last frost. The ground at that point retains heat to smooth out any swings in temperature, and the tender new shoots won't peak above ground for a few days after the temperatures have further settled. Finally, time to move to the cold, tender transplants into the ground. Timing for this is about a week after that last frost, and remember at this, and this is like pretty important, that the magical date is an average, so frosts can sometimes occur even a little bit after that, and obviously frost is the most threatening on cool, clear, windless nights, so be ready when frost is predicted to cover up those cold, tender plants with blankets or upturned flower pots or anything else that can hold in just a little bit of heat. So frost is your number one enemy if you're going to venture out into the garden this spring.
So
this,
I wonder if he's going to do any of this stuff. Like, are you going to do this, Jeff? Are you actually think, hey, man?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I have a little bit of a garden. We just need to obviously get that ready, get some more topsoil on there, fertilize a little bit, dig up some old plants or stuff that doesn't really look very good so far this year. I'll leave it to my girlfriend. I said, do you want to use some vegetables or do you want to do some flowers? So I think we're going to go all flowers, even though I kind of want vegetables because you can eat those. I can't really eat flowers. Well, I guess technically you can eat flowers, but it might be a little bit weird to eat some certain flowers. But I will definitely venture into the garden. Not really my forte. I think I'm more of a lawn care guy, and I'll leave my girlfriend to the garden. But for sure, obviously having a nice garden is aesthetically pleasing, especially when you have guests over. You know, you don't want a garden that has, you know, not much in it.
The frost thing is kind of iffy, right? Like, even when we've been talking to Susan, I don't know, the last spring, the last fall, she's been saying that it's not ordinarily like this. The mild winters, even things like that. So I am curious to know if a regular, like what should be when the last frost of winter or the last frost of 2021 in the past years would be kind of a way to go for this year and things like that, because I always wonder if there is such thing. What is supposed to be, you know, there's kind of a time frame, right? But if you're not a seasoned professional, then maybe you wouldn't know.
Yeah, and like you said, weather changes on a year-to-year basis. Again, if you just Google search when the last frost is in your area, you'll probably just get an average. And you have to sort of keep that in mind, as well as, you know,
well, it's like those days afterward, right? The 5-6 days, keep in mind, it could come back.
Yeah. I mean, check your forecast. I mean, It's so accessible to us just on your phone, watch the weather network, whatever it may be. It was going to be cold over the next 2 weeks, like unusually cold. Then maybe you want to hold off a little bit longer than you typically would, or vice versa. If it's going to be a little bit warmer, maybe you want to think about getting those seeds into the garden a little bit earlier. So I think you just have to use your instincts and also just rely a little bit on the weather, how it's going this year as well. Just, you know, factor in a bunch of different things.
Yeah, weather and like keeping an eye on your actual plants to see how they're reacting to certain things.
Yeah.
If you know that this is a sign that maybe they should be coming back in, or you need to cover them up or whatever people have to do. I'm not really sure. Don't listen to me. But, you know, just keep an eye on the signs.
Okay, take them in, do this. Oh, put them, but
no,
I'll put them back in.
Don't keep posted for our gardening segments.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is like very, very basic knowledge. I mean, this is basically gardening 101. The very first thing to look for is the weather. I think that's almost self-explanatory. But for, you know, dummies like myself who have never gardened ever and planted stuff, I think, you know, this is a good starting point. But for those people who are more experts in this field are probably laughing at us right now thinking, you guys are fools.
They're saying, move on to the next item.
I know. I do have one more. This is kind of a little bit of a fun one that has to do with animals. And there was a recent study from Rover Dog Services in just how cherished a family pet really is, especially during these pandemic times. The report titled Decoding Your Dog's Love Language states the majority of Canadian dog parents thanked their pets for having positively impacted their mental health during the pandemic. And they showed this by showing their four-legged furry friends with toys and gifts. And can you guys guess how much money a Canadian usually spends on their pet just to, obviously aside from the essentials and the odd treats here, but, you know, Remy, I guess you're a dog owner. Do you have any guess on how much people would typically spend to treat their dogs here and there?
Here and there? Like, I don't know what that means. Is it a year, every year, or every month?
I'd say, like, say if it's your pet's birthday. Like, if it's Glizzy's birthday.
Okay, well, he'll get, like, a nice steak dinner.
Nice.
Maybe a new toy. Maybe somebody else will bring him a toy, and then I won't have to spend it on that. I don't know, like, $100?
Yeah.
Max?
That's pretty accurate. It says the average money spent, this was a minimum of $50 per pet.
Yeah.
So kind of on the same, and that's minimum, like at least $50. So
yeah, like
if you have
100.
A pet, yeah, you're probably going to give them a nice little steak dinner or something and maybe a toy or two and maybe a treat. I've seen at some pet stores, they have what looks like cupcakes, but they're obviously dog food and dog treats,
yeah,
which they probably love. So I know
there's some gourmet stuff out there, Jeffy. I don't know how much you've seen, but oh my, there's some gourmet birthday cakes for puppies and kitty cats and everything out there.
I know. I can't wait to get my little doggo and give him all the good treats on his birthday. It's my cat's birthday tomorrow, actually. He's turning one. So we're going to give him a nice little can of tuna. So
that's a bit of a different price range.
That's okay.
I'd hate to see what you'd feed the bird. Yeah, here's some seeds.
You want me to give a steak to a cat? I don't know if they would take
a nice toy, though. Something of, you know,
we're getting him toys. He has so many toys.
That's what I
said. Like I said, what would you give the bird? Oh, here's some seeds. Don't eat them all in one place. Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you
later.
Guys.
See ya.
Okay, man. Jeff will be back for Cut for Time later on in the program. We'll take a break. And up next is our app update as John Beeler joins us. Applications are now open for AMI Scholarship. If you're a Canadian student with a permanent disability, learn more about how you can apply for the 2021 AMI Robert Pearson Memorial Scholarship. Visit ami.ca/scholarship for more information. Rabia Muthan, Kelly McDonald. We're the hosts of the program. Thanks for being with us on your Friday.
On Fridays, we like to get in a weekly app update. So let's bring on John Beeler.
This is The App Show, unlocking software secrets for smartphones, tablets, TVs, and more.
John Beeler's also on The App Show, which airs 4 p.m. Eastern time on Saturdays on AMI Audio. And on Fridays, he's kind enough to pull together some stories that we can check out, things that have come up over the week regarding apps and app news. So, John, there's going to be a rollout, this one we put up first, of a voice command that's Hey Spotify, and this is on Android and iOS. I don't think it's out yet, right? Do you think I've triggered any smart devices?
You might have, yeah.
Whoops.
No, I believe it is rolling out, but it's a really cool feature, I think, especially if you leave Spotify going and you're wanting, you know, you just have it on a device and you're going about your day and doing things and you want to change the song, you can just use your voice now to interact with it. But the only sort of gotcha is that you actually have to have the app open and running. So it's not...
So open, like, and running on your iOS or Android.
Yeah, it's not integrated into, you know, your Google or your Siri requests. Right. So, I mean, you can still sort of get at Spotify through those things, but this is a little bit more direct. As long as the app is open and running, you can interact with your voice only directly with your device.
So when is it supposed to actually come on out where people can, you know, do you think, I mean, obviously it depends when people update, of course.
Yeah. Typically with rollouts, they typically do it like by region. You know, so it could be a couple of days, it could be a couple of weeks, but it's probably going to be here pretty soon, I think.
That's why you could have triggered some people, and some people could be getting some music, or if you're a smart room, you would have said, you know, said the magic words and said, play AMI audio.
Sure.
That's right.
That's what you would have done.
Next time.
Let's talk about things that we've had in our lives, some of us, dreams for years. Google's new R full news toy, new R toy fills the childhood dream of digging a hole all the way to the other side of the earth. How does this work?
It's AR, augmented reality.
Ah.
So this is a really fun thing that, like you mentioned, everyone sort of, you know, what happens if you keep digging, you know, what's on the other side of the planet from
right.
where your location is. And Google's actually created a little augmented reality toy you can actually do in the Chrome browser on an Android phone only at this point, but it allows you to tie into Google Earth and Google Maps and all that stuff, and you can actually tunnel in, and it'll directly look at what's on the opposite end of the planet from where you are by drilling through the middle of the planet.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Super fun, yeah.
Can you set places where you want it to do it from?
You know, I haven't had a chance to try it. I was trying it earlier, but it only works in Android, and unfortunately my Android phone is not with me today, so I haven't been able to try it. But looking at some of the screenshots I've seen online, it looks pretty neat. It does sort of depend. Like if you move around your house, for example, you know, obviously the angles will be different, and you could be, you know, in a very different part of the world depending on the angle that you drill down on. So someone was saying that, you know, they were... basically either directly above the Middle East, New Zealand, or the Antarctic, depending on the angle in the room in their house that they were actually drilling from.
And you wouldn't think about that, right? You would, you know, certainly, you know, people would think, oh, okay, I'll just straight down, it'll be opposite from where I am. And that totally, depending on that angle, is just not even, hey, folks, it's not just like that. It's round.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not looking at like a 2D map where you're like, "Oh, what's below Canada? You know, it's the US." Like, no, it's like somewhere else on the other side of the world. And because of the sizes and the just the vast distances we're talking about here, like, you know, just thousands and thousands of miles, moving a couple of feet around your house can dramatically change where that angle points on the other side.
Boy, could you ever have fun. You could just be doing that for, well, all the time. And then you go and take somebody who comes over, one of your little friends. Hey, look here. I'm going to show you something. And you think, oh, man, when I drill here, we're underwater. And no, because you're just that foot or two off.
That's right.
Cool. Yeah. The next iteration of this would be you actually have to make this, you know, like a video game or something where you had to put in the work. So the harder you dig, the faster you'll get to the other side, huh? Make it a whole workout.
That could take some time.
Yeah, the workout thing is in. So there you go. Start shoveling.
Seriously.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some things that are going away, though. Yahoo Answers is actually shutting down on May 4th. What's happening? Was it not utilized enough? We're not seeing enough of it anymore?
Well, this is sort of an offshoot because of the fact that Yahoo's been kind of like this hot potato for the last few years, where people have big company, multinational corporations have bought it and then sold it and are slowly dismantling it and shutting down some of their services that maybe aren't making money or were just problematic. And Yahoo Answers is one of those sacred places on the internet. It's a huge resource of people asking questions and getting answers from the internet. Is it all high quality content? Not necessarily, but it's a point in time because it's been around since 2005. So it has, you know, a good chunk of, you know, really rich history of things happening over time on the internet. And what's really kind of surprising is that they're not just shutting it off and like, you know, here's the archives. They're deleting everything. Like, it's going away, like gone. And that seems kind of sad because this seems like it should be archived in some way for future generations to see, you know, kind of like when you find an old book about, you know, dating habits in the 40s or 50s, that kind of thing, right? Like,
right.
You look back at some of that stuff and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that's how you used to have to do that thing, right? So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm hoping that someone's going to come in, maybe the Internet Archive or some other big organization that is sort of known for archival purposes, and will save those answers, because it just seems like a shame that they would just disappear completely and they would literally delete the files.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure, like, what, when something like this goes away, do people talk about how to kind of maintain it in some way, or does it just become like a no, this can't be handled anymore, we got to toss it type situation? Because I agree with you. I think it would be a good idea to kind of keep it in an archived format, but maybe that's just not a doable thing.
Well, and that's just it. I don't know how complex the, you know, the infrastructure for maintaining it was to make it a read-only type of thing, as opposed to, you know, because that's also a problem, is, you know, having to maintain those servers. Are we talking like a whole data center full of information? Like, I don't know how big, much information was stored there. And that could also be a factor as to why no one's picking it up, at least not so far, because it's just a Herculean task of maintaining, you know, tons and tons of servers and data space for this information.
Well, hopefully someone steps in or they figure something out, because you just hate to see it, anything like that, because we all get so nostalgic and curious. And hey, how was that? Or what was that? Or hey, let's take a look at it. And you'd like to be able to have access. Your final item is interesting, sir. How can we find out if we're part of the Facebook data breach?
Yes, and this is particularly interesting because since I sent you guys this article, it's been discovered that there was an additional data breach that involved LinkedIn. And on the Facebook side, over 533 million Facebook accounts across 106 different countries were actually part of this data breach. And Facebook's been kind of a little bit not really taken ownership. They don't think that they've been hacked. They think it's basically because someone has basically accumulated a huge archive of data that was publicly available by those Facebook accounts until, I think, 2019, when they actually turned on the security features to sort of hide that from the ability for bots on the internet to scrape all that data. So things like your phone number, your email address, you know, your family connections and your contacts, that kind of stuff is all in part of this major data set that's been discovered on the internet. And the best way to sort of find out if you're compromised in this way, and I should be clear, it doesn't appear that any passwords were part of this. So, you know, you probably don't have to change your password on Facebook right now, but it's always a good idea to do that on a fairly regular basis anyways. But there's actually a really good website that's actually been around for quite a while, and it's a safe place to go, and you just put in your email address or even your phone number, and it'll show you where on the dark web those credentials pop up. And the website's called Have I Been Pwned, and it's owned with a P instead of an O. Mm. And pwning is basically what a hacker does when they take over your account. And so haveibeenpwned.com, you go there, there's a simple little text box, you type in your email address, or your phone number, and it'll show you all the places where your credentials have appeared in these big lists from these data breaches. And it'll give you a little bit of sort of history about that particular data breach. Like, I put in one of my email addresses and I got about 6 different hits. Fortunately, they were all fairly low risk websites that they were utilized on that were compromised. But I at least got a little bit of information about the type of data breach that happened, when it happened, and what data was actually taken from that particular company or service that was hacked.
That's unbelievable.
So is that,
wow.
Yeah, it is. And I honestly feel even nervous to be doing it because I'm like, I don't know. I thought I wasn't compromised. But does it end there, John? Or can you go a step further and know what to do next, or are there things to do next?
Sometimes they will tell you what you need to do, but this is more of a something we've talked about before on the show. Basically, the fact that you should never use the same credentials across multiple websites. Because let's just say, for simplicity's sake, your Facebook username and password and phone number was part of this list. And you use that same set of credentials to log into your bank or some other place, these hackers buy and sell these lists all the time on the dark web. It's very easy to get this information. And then they would just basically take, you know, john@gmail.com, and they'll just throw that into any service, you know, and it's all automated. Like, they have scripts that they run, and it just generates random passwords until it gets a hit. You know, unless my password was also part of a compromised list, match up that stuff. They create a profile that can be used against you for identity theft and or other nefarious things, like even selling like your Disney Plus subscription. Right. You wouldn't know that someone else is logged into it because it doesn't tell you that. Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I mean, then it's really good to have things like this, honestly, because I'm thinking of when you mentioned the streaming services, that things that they're doing to kind of make sure that people aren't getting hacked, or that people are aware when their account is being used elsewhere. And sometimes we think, oh, that's inconvenient. But really, in the bigger picture, yeah, you have no idea for most part that you're getting hacked.
Yeah. And it's really inconvenient if your identity is stolen. So basically, you need to be aware of that. And, you know, I practice what I preach. I have different usernames and passwords as many different places as I can. You know, sometimes you have to use an email address because you have to validate that way, that type of thing. But make sure you have a different password on a very secure password, not a dictionary word, not some simple variation of a dictionary word. And let those your browsers or your password managers generate those really long and impossible to remember passwords, because that's going to protect you more than anything else.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for bringing these stories to us, John. Always some important stuff to think about. And then, of course, followed up with some fun. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
John Beeler of The App Show joining us every Friday to give us an app update. And there's always lots of things on the table that he brings to us. Again, 4 p.m. Eastern time on Saturdays is where you can catch The App Show on AMI Audio.
So now you get stuff that appears, whether it's with text or something, you say, well, this is weird junk. Ah, somebody just punched in something and got me. You really don't know what it's tied to, mm-hmm. or where they came up with that. It's scary, and it's what an inconvenience. Just as much as we say, it's an inconvenience to do such a long number. Wow. We're going to take a break. Coming up next, a woman from Montreal has designed a new seat so people with disabilities will feel more comfortable when traveling. We'll find out more with Karen McGee after this. Welcome back. It's Kelly and Company, Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the show. It's amazing when you don't know and why someone breached you, Ramya, going back to our conversation at the end of our chat with John. It really is funny to me because so many of us just don't even worry about it. I mean, I have people say, hey, I think an identity sent something to me. You seem to come up with, what are you? Because I don't thrive on Facebook. I never think about it. Never think of the ramifications of what it could lead to.
Mm-hmm. But that's why I appreciated that John said it's very inconvenient when you go through an identity theft, because That's the kind of world we live in when we need to hear stuff like that. Oh, man, really? It's going to be hard work after? Okay.
And it's going to generally be the way it's going to be. We're going to have this. It's going to be a norm, more normal to have someone steal an identity or compromise you, unfortunately, than we'd love to admit. Mm-hmm. On Wednesdays and Fridays, we have our regional content report. Today, Karen McGee is joining us, AMI content development specialist out in Ottawa. McGee, what's going on today? How are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's finally Friday.
Yeah?
I know my voice is still bad.
I wasn't saying a thing.
She felt it.
Kind of hard to miss.
Mad that you say it that way.
On Mondays, it's much better. But then during the week, meetings... Because, you know, life. And then by the time I get to you guys, I'm sorry. You get all that's left. You get the leftovers.
We still love you.
I think we'll have to put her on Fridays. Maybe we should do these things Monday and Fridays. On Mondays. We'll have to do them Monday and Wednesdays. Maybe that's a switch we'll make.
Do you want us
too.
To change the schedule, Karen?
You do whatever's best for you. I will do what I'm told.
Yeah, well, you know, then there's a little more of that strength in the voice by then. But you'll get that all sorted out. We'll have the old Karen voice back in no time. Very interesting discussion point here to start out with, Karen. A woman from Montreal has designed a new seat so people with disabilities can feel more comfortable traveling. This is very nice.
So Sandra Gualtieri, she found seats in airplanes to be uncomfortable to the point that it was painful for her. She has cerebral palsy and uses a wheelchair. So she was wondering if this was just her or whether it was other people. So she did a small survey of people with disabilities and found that 72% of people that she heard back from said that they experience pain or discomfort when sitting on airplane seats. So what some people may not realize, and I didn't realize this, is that wheelchair seats are formed to people's bodies. So they're very specific for that particular user. Mm-hmm. So sitting somewhere else, that's why sitting somewhere else can be very painful.
Right.
So she teamed up with four mechanical engineering students from McGill to design a special seat for planes. Now, I know we're not all traveling by planes right now, but at some point we will be again. I have faith. So the seat she designed goes on top of a regular airplane seat, and it kind of looks like almost like a booster seat, but it doesn't have the height and that for a person. So it's got a back and a bottom, and the design I saw it was gray, and it's made out of memory foam, mm-hmm. and it conforms to the user's body. It also offers support to hold the person's seat upright, as well as the neck and head support. So it's simple, but it looks like it could be very effective, making travel comfortable for people when we can travel again. It's going to happen, right? Please tell me it's going to happen.
It will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this something too that the person brings, or is this something the airplane would have and put on seats for people? I would assume, you know, if they request it, but I'm assuming it's probably something you purchase and travel with because it's had that. Well, and again, you got to travel with it. So how do you get around that? I wonder. So if you fold it up or anything, you crumple it out of the memory foam position.
So that's still to be determined in the TBA column. Transport Canada still needs to approve this.
Right.
And then the airlines have to decide whether they will provide the seats to passengers or allow them to be brought on by individuals. And, you know, hopefully this will be done in a timely manner, like by the time people have to fly again. I'm really stuck on people not being able to travel.
We'll get to the response in just a moment. But, you know, what people have thought about it so far, what I find interesting, too. You know, when you talk about that, about a person in a wheelchair, many of us don't really realize that seat is set. I remember having a conversation with Brock Richardson about that, about his chair and how the time is to get it set for the person. It's like you're standing in, you know, and someone's painting a picture of you because they're trying to get it right, get it positioned for your comfort because of the copious amount of time that many people spend in their chair or might have to. And that's so important. So this is ingenious. Has there been any other responses other than, you know, well, we have to let it go pass and we'll figure out if we're going to do it here, the transportation and everything like that. How about individuals that have tried it?
So not a lot of people have tried it. People are lining up to be the first ones to try it. She had a lot of offers from people wanting to try it. And something else that you should note, it actually won first place in the social innovation enterprise category at McGill's Dobson's 2021 Cup, which is a startup competition hosted by the university. So it sounds like there's a need. It's being recognized as being a really innovative product. And, you know, when you look at it, it's very simple. But again, it takes somebody realizing this, and we talk about this a lot, somebody realizing there's a need and there's taking the time to think of a solution that doesn't cost a fortune. And it's something that, when you think about it, is very, very simple.
And Karen, a solution that will work for some not be of interest to others. And we now say that's okay. Instead of being whatever the demarcation line used to be of, well, if enough people want it, I guess we can look into it. And yes, then we can, if a good amount of people want it, then we can pay for producing it. Or it's going to be huge amount of money for a class of people who may be a little more strapped that way and not have the funds to throw at something like this unless we can find, if we can find someone to sponsor paying for it. There were too many ifs in the bottom line of somebody just saying, you know what, I'm going to try something and see what I can do here.
Yeah, if it makes one person comfortable, in my mind, it's worth it. I was going to say if it makes one person go to Disney, then it's worth it. But, you know, that's a little too on brand for me.
Karen on the plane to Disney with it.
September 25th. That's my goal. just the thought, like there's a lot of people who travel and, you know, different needs of, you know, just to make it comfortable for people, because it's traveling is like the worst. On a plane is the worst. And any little bit you can do to make it more comfortable for people, to me, is a win-win-win. Because more people will travel that way.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, traveling on an airplane is uncomfortable to begin with, whether it's 2 hours or 15. So this kind of thing, to make anyone feel a little bit more comfortable and make that opportunity more viable for them, is really, really nice. You want to talk about, Karen, our next story is a recent opinion piece in the Ottawa Citizen sheds light on the topic of accessibility on the Gatineau Parkway. So for people who may not be familiar with the Ottawa area, can you tell us a little bit about it?
So the Gatineau Parkway, it's part of Gatineau Park, and it's just north of Ottawa in Quebec, if the name Gatineau didn't give that away. So it's a super popular spot for people to get exercise, enjoy the weather. There's some beautiful scenery, lots of things to do, especially in the fall, like the great scenery in the fall. The parkway is a scenic drive through the Gatineau Park. There's hiking trails, cross-country ski trails, beaches, campgrounds. There is an unofficial nude beach. I have no personal experience. I've just read about it. It has also been used as a recreational park since the early 1900s. People from other parts of the country may have heard of it because Meech Lake is actually part of the Gatineau Park. So Meech Lake, where the Meech Lake Accord was signed, is a big part of this park. It's a lovely, lovely spot. Paranordic cross-country ski trials are held there quite often. It's always something going on. It's a lovely place to get exercise and enjoy some of the great outdoors this country has to offer.
Oh, well, that's amazing. And yes, there's so much that you mentioned with what's available or potentially available for
people. You're stuck on the nude beach, aren't you?
Yeah. That's right. Not the ski hills.
What happened? That came out of nowhere, eh? That flashed you right up in your mind, did it, Rum?
I expected Kelly to jump all over that one and say something, but you didn't bite. That's okay.
No
way.
No.
We're casual. So what's going on then? What's creating the accessibility issues at Gatineau Parkway?
So Jim Kite, who is very well known in Ottawa, he's a former NHLer who is deaf. He wrote the op-ed, which brought some of these issues to light. I wasn't aware this was going on, and it never occurred to me. So there are several accessible parking spots for use in the park. Some of the trails are accessible. There's a Paranordic ski trails in the wintertime as well. During the pandemic, I didn't mention that the Gatineau Park is owned by the National Capital Commission, and we don't have time to get into my feelings on the National Capital Commission, or as we call it around here, the NCC. So they made the decision to try a pilot project to close the Gatineau Parkway to motor vehicles during May and June, and restricting access to, and I'm using air quotes here, active users only. People who enjoy walking, running, biking, and other outdoor activities. So Jim, who a lot like other people uses the parkway for biking, was really excited to have this advantage because he's deaf and he uses hearing aids. He doesn't bike with his hearing aids in, so having no vehicles on the parkway was a really big bonus for him. But he started thinking about it, and he realized that this, well, it's good for him. This could be very discriminatory for other people. And I'm going to use his words here because he said it very well. So the pilot closed off access to 13 parking lots within Gatineau Park. Many of them have beautiful vistas, lake views, and picnic grounds. How far were Canadians with limited mobility expected to travel to enjoy sunrise at Pink Lake, sunset at Tienbuel Lookout, or a picnic at Mollaville Lake? So he really kind of summarized, like, you think, oh, that's great. Like, they've let the people use the parkway, no cars. That sounds great. But if you can't get to those areas without using a bike or walking or hiking easily and relied on these accessible parking lots, you are discriminated against. So to add insult to injury, so to speak, the NCC then did a survey during this time of the users, asking them what they thought of the pilot project. So you're asking people who can get access to this very easily, but to think about all this sudden renewed access.
Yeah.
They only allowed vehicles on the parkway on Sunday afternoons from 1 p.m. until shortly after sunset, starting in July through Fall Rhapsody. And to say it was chaos is an understatement. The cars were lined up for miles to try to get in. But it also meant people with certain disabilities could only access the park at those times. So to summarize, they asked people who were able to access the park what they thought about it. It might have been an unconscious bias, but it still is a huge bias. This year, they were actually smarter, and they did a survey that actually ended earlier this week to ask everybody online what they thought about this. I know Jim was really pushing the survey on social media to make sure everybody had a say. So we'll see what happens this year. So the NCC is usually very good about things like this. I have other issues with them, but they're usually very good about disability issues. But it's a really unconscious bias when you start to add up all these different things that happened, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the thing is, Karen, like, even as you're saying this, you said Jim went through his own realization of, oh, okay, yeah, this is what it means for people who don't even have the access, right? And let alone the people who have the access, and they're like, yeah, this is a great idea. So we got to be conscious of all that stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, usually the NCC is very good. So they're hopefully rectifying it by doing an online survey this year that's open to everybody to ask what they think about it. And like I said, we'll see what happens. I know, Rami, I was thinking of this story when I thought of you. I can see you loving this place. Like the beaches, the hills, the hiking trails. It's just, it's a lovely experience. The smells, the nature up there is amazing. The sounds you hear are incredible.
Everything sounds so good.
They're playing me off, aren't they?
Yeah. We'll talk to you later. Let you know if we're making it a Monday thing, okay?
Talk to you later, guys. Have a good day. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Karen McGee joining us from Ottawa. She's our content development specialist over there.
In the next hour, Chatty Bookshelf, we'll do Cut for Time, but Bill's next with The Buzz.
When you tune into the show in the middle of an interview...
I had one of those hiccup burp things.
Uh-oh.
Have you had those before?
Sometimes it's the reverse, right? It's like it feels like it's going backwards and your eyes go...
You're listening to Kelly and Company on AMI Audio.
If you want to find us because you got to run around, you got to go out, maybe you're out. Well, make sure you download TuneIn Radio, Radio Player Canada app, or OOTunes, any of the three, and there's more out there, that you can find AMI Audio. Just do that, and then you can search for AMI Audio and listen to Kelly and Company. Once you got it in, once you got it stored and favored it, then you can listen to us at your leisure wherever you are. Kelly McDonald, Rami Amuthan, it's hour two of the program. Oh, look at that, the gateway to the weekend. Halfway open. And to help us out a little bit more, Rum, and pushing it open, the guy we visit with on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Bill Shackleton. He arrives here with some items to talk about. We call it The Buzz. Sir, buzz on in. How's things today?
Things are pretty good. I understand I got to 24 where you were yesterday. I'm thinking I got up to 18.
Big old seven, Billy.
Is that right, eh?
27. Mm. Outside, there were people complaining. Well, okay, so I was complaining. But the point is, you know, it was really wonderful. And even when rain moved in later on, still really nice and glad to see it. It's just so tempting, though, to get out there. And right now we all have to be smart about it.
It's a teaser. It's a good sign of things to come. But, yeah, I can hardly wait to get out there. So,
what are we starting with, sir?
The watchmaking industry. This is an interesting one. Actually, watchmakers go digital to show off new products and revise sales. You can imagine how the high... Now, this has to do with the high-end watchmakers. They're not overly fond of online shopping, of course, because they're used to people going into a store. You know, when you buy a high-end watch, you feel it, you try it on, you talk to the person behind the counter... And there's and you get the idea of how it really looks. The other issue they're having is a lot of people are buying these cheaper watches and throwing them away. So when the battery goes dead, you throw them away. So the pandemic has really hurt these people. So they have had to rebrand how they sell. So what they've been doing is they held an event on Wednesday, where it was a webinar, I guess they're called, and they were showing they were showing watches on digital so you could see what they look like and, you know, make believe, I guess, that you were trying them on. But there's really no substitute.
It's like a watch fashion show.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
You know, Bill, it's funny because I've stopped wearing watches because if I'm going to go out, which doesn't happen much, I'm worried about forgetting myself. Especially back when we when this whole COVID thing started and we were watcher surfaces and stuff, I stopped literally wearing them, which is really sad because I had started to get some of my watches fixed that had been handed down to me, different things that I had, and I love them. I love having them. I think they're great, and it's neat because I've had some choices where for years it was the standard Seiko Braille watch or the old wind-up one that we used to get too. And that was it, Billy. And seeing this, it's so sad because there are so many different things out there and some being made with accessibility.
They are. And the thing about these, especially the high-end watches, is that you, even at the best of times, how many people are going to buy a high-end watch? I mean, if unless you have...
It's a tough sell.
It's a tough sell. And even with the pandemic, it's even worse. I don't know how they're going to do it. As I said, they are forced to go digital, and there's really no substitute, in my opinion, for trying the thing on, but hopefully they're going to work it out.
Well, and I think a lot of time, Bill, we've had the order and people see that and they're comfortable enough with their wrist size to do the ordering. I just think it's that scary thing about it and the reliance now that so many people just bother with their phone or their Google Home and Alexa when they're just sitting around and just not a problem to say things to them. Whereas, like I said, with myself, I just don't want to forget myself. Keep the watch on, touch it later because I came in without wiping it down. And how much of that can you do without, you know, maybe compromising your watch, depending on the kind of watch? Yeah, interesting.
And I guess that is the factor about wiping it down. Actually, that was from Reuters.
Okay.
A couple of funny ones, sir. Actually, Miss Reigning World Champion got herself into trouble in Sri Lanka. She actually ripped the mask off of the Mrs. Sri Lanka pageant. So basically what happened was this was televised on Sunday. So the Mrs. reigning world champion, this is kind of, okay. I know. She went up on stage and ripped the mask off of the Mrs. Sri Lanka.
The crown is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I think
so. She pulled the crown right off.
Yeah, she's the reigning.
Wow.
Now,
attack. Okay.
Not like a wrestling match. Wow.
Seriously.
I
don't think they were dressed for it though.
They are because basically the Miss Sri Lanka was accused of being divorced. So basically she's not. So, I mean, you can imagine this being televised right on TV.
Wow. It does sound like almost like a stunt for this kind of event. And, you know, somebody come out and, you know, and make that accusation, take that off and you're divorced in the Mrs. event. Whoa.
You know, the thing, how popular are these pageants now? Of course, in Sri Lanka, I guess they are fairly popular. I remember back in the day when you had pageants out, there was a Miss Canada, Miss Universe and all this sort of thing. So I guess they are fairly
in some places.
Popular.
I think people still like them. I find them. Oh, like, you know, some things I find okay. Competition in some kind is all right, but I've not really ever found this kind of thing. I think it's demigrating. I find it hard on people, the what people go through to be in these. So anyway, I digress. I don't want to get into all that.
But I mean, some of this stuff is just so tradition bound, you know, like the pageants and city pageants and town pageants and I guess the world stage also. But the thing that spikes my curiosity here is, so she had the crown pulled off of her because she was allegedly divorced.
Yes,
so therefore,
it's only for married women.
That's right.
My goodness. Wow. Well, she was given the crown again, right, Billy?
Yeah, she was given the crown again, and the two women are going to appear in court.
Yeah.
So we'll see we'll see. The other thing about these pageants, as you say, they're degrading because only the it's all about, and we've talked about being skin deep. It's all about beauty. And it's
Component. You know, like, don't get me wrong. I mean, there are certain things I think are awesome.
There's like the talent and other things.
Parts of things that I think are kind of neat if they're done tastily and all that kind of stuff. But the stuff of you know, people's looks and everything like that, it just leads to negative to me. And you know, maybe that's just me saying, well, and showing that off or penalizing others. For a judge saying, oh, you're not as that person.
I
just struggle with that.
And I got to put in here also for women, especially because these competitions, a lot of them are women oriented and women centered. So there's that competition side of it, but I feel like it's in a very unhealthy way because you're now putting up the impression that you are the prettiest or you have the crown because you're supposed to be the prettiest. And that, is definitely an unhealthy kind of, well, I should say it has resulted in too many years of unhealthy ways of doing this kind of competition.
And it negatively impacts everybody viewing it. Sorry, Bill, go ahead.
Is there any benefits do they get money or is it just?
Well, yes, you know, definitely money.
Kind of status.
There's impressions, right? Yeah. Like the status and the impressions that you get. What am I trying to say? Reputation that you get from there onwards. But money is usually part of the prize. And then, as Kelly was saying, there's aspects of it that are not necessarily beauty oriented. There's the, you know, talent side, the intelligence side, the questions that they ask you to see how you want to impact the future, et cetera, et cetera. But so many women who grow up with this stuff have other things to say about the detriments of it also.
Hmm. Bill, I think we have a moment just to barely squeeze in your last one. I don't know if you want to hang on to it until Monday.
We can do it.
We've got about a minute.
In New York, a woman lost her court case, not because of what the case involved, but because a judge, her lawyer didn't have a mask.
Oh.
Can you imagine that?
Oh.
She lost a court case because a judge, because her lawyer would not take would not leave the mask on.
Wow.
So basically the judge said, okay, you lost the case. This guy apparently asked to if he could take his mask off because he had a problem. The judge said,
so he didn't even take it off. He requested to take it off.
Yeah.
Wow.
This seems really wild.
That's really wild that would be the result. I could understand him saying, okay, well, we're banning this man from the courtroom and this trial has to be carried over. I can understand that and court costs. I could understand that as well for especially inconveniencing the other parties. I can understand something like that. But to say, no, you lose. but I'm telling him, put the mask on. That's too bad. You didn't tell. But if I had forced it back on his face, you'd then say, and then the next case is assault because you forced the mask on him.
Yeah, it's how far is this going, this mask thing going when you disregard the evidence in the case and you base it on the fact that you don't want to wear your mask. It's just crazy.
You just ban this lawyer from the courtroom. You say unless again, depending on his reason, in the sense of you can't have him there, so something's got to be done, which to me, you suspend it. And if he has to get another lawyer because this lawyer has some issues, maybe he's got a problem, a health issue that's rising. So, thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. It's kind of a crazy story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're going to see a bunch of that stuff. And as vaccinating goes on, I think we're going to get more of those questions and queries of, well, I think I'm okay with, but I do think we have to figure out what people are needing, where they're at when it comes to it. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Billy joins us Monday, Wednesday, Fridays right here on Kelly and Company. We call the segment The Buzz. He starts our second hour off. We're going to take a break. Ryan Hui, he's up next with the Chatty Bookshelf. In Manitoba, you can check AMI Audio out via your television. MTS has us on channel 704. And Source Cable has on channel 110 in Hamilton, Ontario. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area and where you can find AMI audio available via your television. I'm Kelly McDonald, host of the program with Ramya Muthan.
And now let's talk all things audiobooks with our friend Ryan Hui.
Who knew an entire library could fit inside your pocket? My name is Ryan Hui. This is the Chatty Bookshelf, and we talk all things audiobooks.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How was your long weekend?
Oh, do you know what? That's so sad. It feels so long time ago.
Right? It feels like I was on the show so long ago.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Too. He was on the Backwards Thursday when the April Fool's joke day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we had what a show it was.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Oh. Thank you, sir. Thank you. But Ryan, yeah, nice. But again, with everything going on, everything just, you just seem so lost of time and day. And then you get Seriously. Warm weather and you're saying, is this supposed to be here now? I mean, after all, this is February. No, it's not. No, it's April. No, right?
Could they have picked a better week to, you know, embrace this lockdown and stay at home order because it's been, you know, what, 25 degrees every single day so far? So, yeah.
Yeah,
I chuckle at the variance in temperature. Ryan's down Windsor way, and as it goes through London to Toronto, and just how much you'll hear on the weather on the TV, and they'll mention things like, oh, it's that warm down there? Yeah, the line is here. So here you've got 5 degrees Celsius, and where Ryan is, he's lazing back in 18.
Well, it's interesting because I struggled right there because I had to say Celsius because we switch over in Windsor when it gets warm to Fahrenheit. So it's like, oh, it's 72. But what? If I say that, everyone's like, what's 72?
Only when
72?
It gets warm?
Yeah. To make it sound like more. That's like from Oliver Twist. Please, sir, may I have some more? Just put it on some smaller plates so it looks like more.
No, that's crazy. So in the summer, you put it to Fahrenheit, and then in the winter, you're like, no, we don't want to go that low. Let's just, or we want to make it seem colder then.
In the winter, it's -2, but in, you know, in the summer, it is 75 degrees. It's 80 degrees. Wow. It's 100 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah, we can also in your background hear Hot Rod Harry whipping around. So awesome. Enjoy that
nice
weather.
You guys did not hear that, really?
Yeah, he's enjoying the nice weather out there.
Oh boy, this is an offline conversation now.
There we
are. Okay, so, let's move to audiobooks before it's too late. What are we chatting about today?
This one's really cool. So it's not my norm. You know, I stick to the science fiction, that sort of stuff. But this is actually a nonfiction book that I've come across. And it was actually really good. It was a quick listen, but it's called Thrivers by a psychologist named Michelle Borba. And it kind of looks at how children of different ages are dealing with the pandemic and the everything that really goes with it, even some things that we might not think of. So a little bit out of my wheelhouse, but it was a really good listen and I flew through it. I was actually really surprised.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, tell us a little bit about this book itself. I mean, something pulled you to say, hey, I'm gonna take a check of it. What really pulled you in?
The description was really good for the book. And you know what? There was a quote by a sixth grader and it said, you know, the pandemic can be broken down into sort of three, I guess, ways that we've been thinking about it, right? And it was the first one was, hey, it's going to end any day now. And then the second one was, hey, now we're looking at creative ways on how to see our friends. And the third one is, oh, we're in month 14. Is this ever going to end now? And so that kind of, it was interesting because I never thought of it in that perspective until a 12-year-old kind of put it into perspective for me, right?
And the reason why this is called Thrivers is why?
So it looks at how some kids can thrive in unnatural environments, I guess is how they kind of put it, and how other kids sort of struggle to be the norm, and it wants to know why. Michelle Borba wanted to know, hey, how come, you know, Jimmy is so good when he's in the classroom, but when he's learning online, why isn't he that good? And it was interesting because when they looked at things, they were looking at the rise in children calling ambulances and going to the emergency room for mental health concerns. And I guess it's really kind of exploded throughout the pandemic. But what the best chapter, I shouldn't say the best chapter, the most interesting chapter that I read was regarding that. It's the kids that you weren't worried about in school. It was the student parliament presidents. It was the captain of the football team. You know, the people that get their social kind of aspect from school. Now they're not getting that. And their lives have sort of changed, and unfortunately not for the better. So they wanted to give, you know, tips and tricks on what they could do to kind of better them, what's working, what's not, and what these children are feeling. So it's really really a great listen, actually. And if you guys are, you know, looking to kind of learn something, or even just interested on what kids throughout Canada and the United States are going through, it's really a good listen.
Wow, that's amazing. Is there other things in there in the way of the structure of the book? I'm assuming we get a bunch of the examples, the discussion, and probably it's a read like a discussion unfolding in front of you. How does this book get put out for you?
I almost pictured it as I was a teacher marking tests, and I had, you know, test number one from Jimmy, and he says this, and then test number two was, so it was almost like you were reading papers from different students. And the thing I liked was it wasn't just sixth grade or eighth grade or 12th grade students. It was a mix. And it was like, this is what we're dealing with at this age level, and this is what we're dealing with at this age level. It was really interesting. And then the part that was, it spends a lot of time talking about what kids are doing to make themselves busy, to take their mind off of school, to all the distractions. And it talks a great deal about how different the distractions are compared to, you know, hey, we didn't want Melissa going to that party Friday night. Now it's the distractions are completely different kind of thing compared to in a air quotes normal world.
Mm. Did they get much into the parents, the teachers, the caregivers that are in there?
Yeah, they sort of give tips for them too on, you know, hey, here's some unique ways that you can, you know, bring it up to the students or bring it up to your children. And this is how you can start that conversation. Because I think that might be, you know, 50% of the battle is how do you start this conversation to realizing that maybe there's something not right, or, you know, maybe they're struggling with something and why have their grades went down or something, right? I know I'm concentrating on the negatives here, but there was a lot of talk about the negatives and how to kind of move them progressively into a positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's I guess when you think about the three phases you mentioned that the children are seeing this as this pandemic, there was like in the first stage, you're going, oh no, this can't last so long. And then the second stage, you're like, okay, well, I guess we have to deal. And now it's really about the optimism part too, right? Right? Like as adults, I can say that's one thing, you know, we've done it for 12 plus months, but how do we do it and still feel good when things just don't seem to be going? I mean, I don't think we're all under this naive impression that it's going to go back to the way it was, but it's still like where it's going now, is it a good place? Like we don't know anything still. So it's hard to stay optimistic and positive in this time frame of things.
It does touch on that a little bit, actually. And what's interesting about that point is they're looking towards what's the fourth part of this pandemic going to look like? What are the kids going to label it as, right? Because we got the three, but, you know, we might not be out of the woods just yet. So what are they going to struggle with in this next one? Or how can we kind of nip it in the butt and look, be, you know, not be so reactive to things? You know, we got to look ahead and be proactive. So it's a really good listen, and she definitely did her homework, and she talked to a ton of kids, which was really kind of inspiring to get all of these thoughts. I mean, especially as a sixth grader, to have your quote used in a book, that's mm-hmm. kind of cool, right? I think that might help in a way, right? And I can't say enough great things about this one.
Well, we've been hearing, especially when it comes to closing schools, doing the online, how the mental health piece is really, really got to be taken into account. And you start feeling sometimes, yeah, but people are in danger with schools and all that avenue of it and dealing with each level of the pandemic, no matter what you think of it. Anything else that you want to touch on from the audiobook?
You know what? Just it's great from start to finish. It really puts things into perspective, and it sort of makes you look at things from a younger, maybe a little bit of a younger mind's perspective. And I never really knew that maybe I might struggle with some of these things too, because I'm such a social person. It's sort of just you deal with the hand you're given, right, or what we're going through. But it sort of brought some things to light for me too. And I'm definitely going to try some of the suggestions they said, you know, because it wasn't just the typical, hey, do yoga or work out or cook. There was, you know, like do some deep breathing or do some, you can pray or you can read, which we know I always do, but there were some really good ones in there. And I'm open to trying them.
They created some terms too, right? To kind of
forgot about these. Yeah,
define so I can the see pandemic these catching or whatever.
On too. Yeah, so this came from a school in Texas actually, and what they did was they created a couple of terms and it sort of defined how they were feeling within the pandemic. So it was like, oh, I'm pandemic good was one, and I'm quarantine fine was the other one. And that's okay. How they were describing each other to each other on Zoom calls or on Microsoft Teams calls when they're learning in class, right? So I could see this kind of becoming a thing, you know, with Urban Dictionary and some other things. I really think that those could kind of catch on, because who would have thought 14 months later we'd still be, you know, where we are.
Well, you think about yourself too, where we would have been if this had happened while you're in school, and you then wonder about... We always, especially as kids, you watch different people and you think, and I'm sure teachers have the people that, okay, that person's a leader. They're going to do this. They're going to be that way. That person's more shy. But in the book, I'm sure there were people, there were those surprises, people of, wow, they're very much struggling with this, or wow, that person's really adapted.
And that was a big point in the story too, right? Is like how you look at different people, and they kind of took the different cross sections of children and students and things. Because you had the, you know, you had the jocks, you had the people in band, you had the artists, you had the people that don't really do any activities afterwards. You had the younger kids, the older kids, and that's what I think really made this a true kind of story, as you're looking at it. And from a parent's perspective, it's like, hey, well, how can I be better, or how can I help my child be better, whether it's extracurriculars, whether they're struggling with math, or whether it's the mental health factor. I think it's all just as important as the next. And, you know, really looking into this, it opened my eyes, no pun intended.
Yeah. No, it's definitely... an important thing for us to think about, and pick up a book like this and be able to realize that there's different parts of our population that are experiencing this pandemic in very specifically difficult ways. And that is going to make long-lasting impressions. I mean, we've talked about school and what's going on in the education system, and what online learning or stay-at-home learning is going to mean for kids. But there's so many aspects. They're missing out on social. They're missing out on, you know, like milestone moments of growing up and all these different things where, like, that age group is really not, like, I don't think we're hearing enough about it, right? We need to be picking up these very specific content, created content, so that we can learn more about what the kids are feeling.
Well, and Ryan, it's got to be tough because we're only supposed to hear so much. There's a lot of privacy issues. And also what the people who can speak out, they want us to be, oh, no, we're dealing. We've got to be careful of this. And we're hearing sort of the stories that they want us to hear.
You're right. And it's interesting because you look at this time last year, all the kids are like, yeah, we get to learn from home. This is going to be awesome. I don't have to wake up early. I can, you know, sit on my couch. I don't have to wear a school uniform, that sort of thing. But who would have ever thought that we would hear kids are missing the classroom? It's just, I mean, even I look back, like Kelly mentioned earlier, you know, when we were in school, oh, I didn't want to wake up early to go to school. But now, you know, kids are struggling because they don't have that sort of, I guess, routine almost, just something to look forward to. Like you said, even if it's the game after school or the prom or all these get togethers. So it's a really, really good book. And, you know what, it touches on so many different things, like you said, and I'm sure that this book could have been 1,000 more pages and still not even scratched the surface.
For sure. Ryan, thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, have a good weekend, guys.
Ryan Huey on the Chatty Bookshelf.
We'll take a break, folks. When we return, Jeff Ryman joins us, and we'll do Cut for Time. Hang in. Remember, at your leisure, check out the Kelly and Company podcast, especially as we get talking about some of the more recent segments on the program. You might want to go back and hear them in their full version. You can listen to the show as segments, or you can listen to the complete Kelly and Company podcast experience. On the end of that, we throw on an audio vanity card. please take your time, subscribe using your favorite podcatcher, and enjoy the Kelly and Company podcast. And if you wouldn't mind, while you're in there, maybe give us a rating and review, but really just take the show in and enjoy it. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald at our home studios and hanging out at his home studio and returning back to the program after completing Lifestyle Headlines with earlier, Jeff Ryman. And Rummy, Jeffy gets first kick at the cat today on this segment we call Cut for Time, where we look back at some of the segments in the program and the feeling we had while going through that segment, or in Jeff's case, while listening into it, that we might have wanted to add a little something to it. So, Jeff, where are we starting?
Yeah, we're going to, I wouldn't say break the rules, but maybe slightly bend the rules here, as my clip is not from this week, but it is from last week when we spoke to sports broadcaster Nico Cardarelli about a brand new show that he's a part of, and it's called The Courage Hockey Show. In this clip, he explains what the show's about and what we can expect with the show throughout its inaugural season.
So as Kelly sort of mentioned, it's an all-encompassing hockey magazine-style show. And for our first season, we're doing four episodes. And we kind of touch on everything from NHL to juniors to women's hockey to, of course, the adaptive disciplines within the sport of hockey. So there's a fair amount of focus on para hockey or sledge hockey and on blind hockey as well. But as you can see in some of the footage that we show, we have clips of Volt hockey in there as well. I mean, we wanted to make a show that's not only accessible to all audiences, but truly represents all people across Canada and the United States that love hockey. And just because maybe you're living with a disability, it doesn't mean you can't participate in the sport that we all love. So for us, it was really a mission to raise awareness about the different adaptations of hockey and have this platform with great partners like the Hockey News and Sports Illustrated, where we can showcase the great game and all the different versions of the game to a greater audience than maybe we can normally reach.
I love that message, creating awareness with the platforms that they have. Of course, you mentioned the Hockey News and Sports Illustrated, which are pretty big sports broadcasting companies. So it was nice to hear what Nico has been up to. And this just makes me so proud, and it makes me smile to hear about shows like this. Not only is the Courage Hockey Show sounding phenomenal, but I mean, even on our own network with the Neutral Zone, the guys in the gang there have been doing phenomenal work. I think, you know, what Nico was mentioning in that clip is that we just need that awareness. And I spoke about this, I think, one of the last times we did Cut for Time, when I highlighted Volt Hockey with Jim Crisco. Mm-hmm. It just needs that awareness. A lot of people still unaware about the different types of adaptive sports out there. It just needs that little bit of coverage. This is just a small step in the right direction. And with the work that Nico's done, with the work that Brock has done, it's starting to shorten that gap just a little bit between, you know, people knowing adaptive sports and people who are just completely unaware. And it's not like I think people mean to ignore the fact that there are so many great adaptive sports out there. It's just the lack of the knowledge. And everybody that I have talked to, or at least I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people that I have talked to, especially when we were broadcasting the blind hockey national tournament at Maple Leaf Garden at Mattamy Arena, it's just, you know, I show them videos. I'm saying, I'm going to be helping broadcast a blind hockey tournament. And people are like, what? Blind hockey? What is that? So people don't even understand that there is a sport out there. And hopefully with all of these shows that are now starting to come to fruition, we're able to shorten that gap between the lack of knowledge and people actually knowing. So just wanted to give a huge shout out to Nico and obviously to our gang here at AMI as well with the Neutral Zone, because what they've been doing has been phenomenal the last couple of years. So just wanted to get that out there, guys.
So what I think for me, and I know through the interview, you know, you talk the celebrity status, and it's nice to have the celebrities on board to say, hey, whether it's media celebrities, actual athletes or former athletes, that people recognize out there touting your para sport. And whether a sport's in the Paralympics or just something that people are doing, you need that kind of thing. But to speak of the sport and fill people in and intrigue them that way, I think that you see that when you get Nico, when you get a show like this, when you get the gang talking and people, oh, wow, that's cool. I've never heard of it. How's it done? And I think that's the thing I want to see. I want to see, and including those of us in the disabled community, there's a lot of the Paralympic sports I don't know about. I've never experienced. We don't see them anywhere unless they're streamed. There's no video description for me to follow along necessarily, sometimes not even an announcer. And I think that that's where we do the disservice that I want to see the change, and we're slowly seeing it happen. People like Scott Russell out there at CBC who really focus on making sure it's out there, and really wonderful.
Surely we'll get there. Yeah, we will. Problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the exposure is wonderful. Rum?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so we've been talking today a little bit about you know, how this week has been feeling and how there's a lot of just up and downness. And also bad news and things to digest. But on Monday's program, we had a great, brilliant moment. We had our annual conversation with Kate Marshall Flaherty of the League of Canadian Poets. And unfortunately, we did run out of time for her to share another poem. She shared one with us. But thankfully, she sent us along this beautiful reading of Rose Quartz, which is a poem about resilience. Yes, because that we need more conversations about it. So in the form of art, this is about the Canadian Shield Rock that weathers all storms as a sort of metaphor for Canadians. Have a listen.
Rose quartz, veins of Canadian shield cut through sedimentary rock, blushing against storm cloud gray, streaks of sparkle in a ridge of rock. The white pines hold their ground, their tenacious roots grip into coastal crags. As gulls lift their piercing cries above branch brooms whisking away cirrus clouds. Pink quartz, not white as chickadee bib or bulrush pulp, but flush in a harsh landscape, a bit of rose in rock's hard history.
Rose Quartz by Kate Marshall Flaherty, and that's an original poem from her. It's a treat to have her present some of her poems and her writings and to talk to us a little bit about what it's like for National Poetry Month in April. And, you know, I just wanted to let everyone in on something specifically that I've been struggling with. And this is not necessarily because of the pandemic or because of the times we're going through, but it's really... I feel amplified itself, and that's staying in the moment, staying in the present, and really feeling what's happening. But I think that poetry, journaling, any kind of paying attention to writing, whether it's your own or somebody else's, really kind of puts you in that headspace to just ease off of all these other things that are going on and be present and focused in the moment. And I'm not sure, Kels, Jeffy, if you were feeling it, but especially with that soundscape, that music in the background, and with her words and something she was describing, you get pulled away, right? You get pulled away from however you're feeling, however your stress levels are and things like that. And you just have that moment to be a little more conscientious of what it's like to be in the present. So ever since she's been on the show, I've taken advantage of Poetry Pause, which is something that the League of Canadian Poets does for people, where they send you an email a day with a piece of poetry written by a Canadian. And it's just that moment that you can kind of wrap yourself in every day if you'd like to. So I wanted to share that with you guys.
It's refreshing. It's nice to hear. I mean, just that clip that we heard. I mean, I was almost zoning out. I just felt zen. It felt good just to, you know, listen to poetry, have that music in the background, and almost disconnect, which is kind of weird to say because we're in the middle of broadcasting a show. But I was able to, in just that 1 minute, just have that little refresh. And it was so nice, very therapeutic. And it's always great having Kate on the show. She's a joy to deal with via email as well. Very excited to join us. And she's already said she wants to join us next year. So it'll be, I guess, year number 4 next year in April. So can't wait to get her back on.
I love that she sent that in. Rum, how do you feel each day when you receive your poem?
I feel wonderful, Kel. Some of them are hard-hitting. Some of them are just relaxed. And some of them, it's just something to focus on. Mm-hmm. You know, you're scrolling through emails. You have so many hours in the day to do so many things. But just to pause. I love that they called it that, too. Poetry, yes. Pause. Because you are. You're pausing and just taking that second to be somewhere else.
And they have so many different things that they're doing to promote Canadian poetry, poetry around the world. And this time when so many of us need that pause, as Rum was mentioning. Mm-hmm. And I like that as someone who loves when people are writing, putting themselves out there, taking a moment and sharing with us that few moments. And sometimes somebody just takes moments to write them. Other times it takes a little longer because there's a lot of work that goes into word choice and everything and people sharing their feelings. So I've always thought that I'm not really great at poetry, but I think it's a really tremendous thing when anyone shares any of the writing like this that they're doing with us to help us feel. And you see that when people put them on the ends of their nameplates on emails. And I want to stick a bit with the writing theme here. On Tuesday's show, we had author Tara Shannon with us. We were talking to her about her new book entitled Rabbit and Bear, Make a Wish. Here she is explaining why it's always been a dream of hers to become a published writer.
It's always been there for me in my life, even ever since I was a small child. I've looked to writing, and that's always been a dream of mine, is to one day write a book and have it published. I went to school for English and it's always been in the back of my mind, and it's always been something I've gone to help process big emotions and big feelings, is to write it out. So, especially now, and if that's something I can share is, you know, if, maybe that can be an outlet for other people as well, is that maybe writing will help them too.
She went on to talk about first seeing her writing, and this is really when you see, like, whoa, hold on, somebody's taken something, it was the illustration, excuse me, and saw it and think, wow, hold it, this is mine, but my name's not attached to it. And that's not just it is an ego thing, folks, but when people have something of yours put out there that seem to be bringing people enjoyment, pleasure, smiles, laughs, whatever it means, or making people start talking, that's powerful. And I think most of the people I know who, again, a lot of them have written plays or have been involved with that kind of aspect of writing and poetry or songs, they're just amazed. And I've always thought, if somebody takes your song and wants to perform it, or you write and they perform the songs you write, that's powerful. We've had artists on the show talk about other people that they've written stuff for. And to me, that's hugely flattering when somebody mimics somebody's work and or uses a riff or something from it because they like what the person's done. Yeah, I know some people will say, well, that's stealing, that's whatever. You're not really writing your own thing. I think that compliment itself is really tremendous, let alone your interest in writing, sharing your thoughts, your feelings, or engaging people to enjoy. I've had the opportunity of writing some plays because when I started to learn about doing community theater, I learned, well, anyone can rent a theater. Anyone can kind of put together a theater troupe. Yeah, sure, there's work and that. And maybe I could even write something. I didn't need to know if it was really any great thing, if it was hot shakes and people galore were going to come and watch the play. I wanted to see it on its legs, watching people, actors, putting it up there. And it, what a tremendous feeling. So for me, when Tara mentioned that, seeing her work, always wanting to write, and we all have different levels of how far we want to carry something, whether it's singing locally or just in the shower, or what you're doing. I just love the idea of that feel. And when someone gets that one thing that says, you got it here, you made it, and made it doesn't have to be well known by everyone in the world. Mm-mm.
I think it's the impact, right, Kels, we were talking about with her, what it means for one person to see that image or to experience it, that post, and say, oh my gosh, yeah, this hits something for me. And I think that that's where we can measure. And it's not worldwide fame or whatever it is, celebrity status. It doesn't have to be that. You have these everyday conversations with everyday people, and that feels good.
And there's so much else for people to look at, read, for it to go elsewhere. And again, you can't get caught up on all of that. If it's one person that says, you know, I saw your post last night. Boy, did it ever mean a lot to me. Or boy, did it make me laugh. You know, you feel so wonderful at that. So for her to get there and share it and be so honest, especially dealing with some of the things she's had to deal with in life, that can really divert you or maybe taint your writing to where it's not what you really want your writing to be, but to get through and also recognizing those things add to what you put out. Really wonderful.
And guys, I just want to, you know, maybe paint a little bit of a picture for you guys here, because I do have the illustration that went viral in front of me. I mean, this was shared all over social media. And of course, Tara was able to land a publishing deal and was able to have a 60 plus page book that was just put out just about a week ago. So the illustration has a bear on the right. And this is all just drawn and handwritten. It's a bear on the right and a rabbit on the left. And then there's text saying, "I'm afraid," said rabbit. "What are you afraid of?" asked bear. "I don't know," replied rabbit. "I just am." "Then I will sit with you until you're not afraid anymore," said the bear. "We will face it together." So just a kind of nice message. It was handwritten, hand-drawn. And I think, you know, that sort of just resonated with a lot of people, especially around this time last year when the pandemic was first hitting us. So just a nice little way of, you know, putting a smile on people's faces.
Oh, for sure. And we really appreciate having her on the show. Jeff, thank you for spending, again, some time with us, finishing the week doing Cut for Time.
No problem, guys. See you later.
We'll do this again next Friday on the program. Rummy and I will return and take a look with Brock Richardson at the Neutral Zone ahead. Well, we were talking about the podcast, folks. Gave you a few things in which you could go back over the last week and a half. I think we let Jeff slip by on Cut for Time with picking something from last week because we didn't do it last Friday with it being Good Friday. Rum, what do you want to select from today's show that you want to kind of remind people to go take a listen to?
Well, Karen McGee talked about the Gatineau Parkway and how there's so much for so many people to take advantage of in that little part. And, you know, from all kinds of physical activities and things to do to just get outdoors. But then there's this unconscious bias she also spoke about that was named in an article by Jim, where you might not realize what you're doing to people by saying no motor vehicles allowed. And it was a pilot project, but it just makes us realize, right, that, oh, yeah, this cuts out accessibility and accommodations and access, really, to a lot of people in the disability community specifically. So if you want to learn more, check that out on the podcast.
Yeah, it really is an interesting discussion because it makes you get into the thoughts of choices, and a lot of choices that we're not really thrilled with are happening through the pandemic. I actually liked our visit with John Buehler, especially when we started talking about Facebook being compromised and so many accounts out there being affected. Really interesting chat and gives you some food for thought with that discussion with him. So check that out on our app update when you check out the Kelly and Company podcast, which you can subscribe to using your favorite podcatcher. You can do the same with the Neutral Zone. That show comes your way in case you can't stick around for it in about 5 minutes here on the network. Let's bring Brock Richardson. He's the host of the show along with the panel, and they kick things off in a bit. What's on the agenda today, sir?
So busy show as always. We're going to be joined by Eric Robesnicks, who's employed by the University of Michigan as the assistant project manager for adaptive sports and fitness. He's going to be discussing that role and also his role in integrating para and their athletic sports together for basketball and wheelchair basketball. So really cool conversation ahead there as well. Some guy named Kelly McDonald is going to join the panel and discuss the conclusion of March Madness and how the Blue Jays can be competitive in the AL East this year. So all that coming up in the next hour.
Boy, I'm glad you told me what I was on for. I thought you just wanted the pretty face. Well, okay, it's the radio face. Brock, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, pal. We'll also talk to you on our program Monday when you return with your sports update for us after the weekend.
You will indeed.
Brock Richardson and the Neutral Zone Gang and myself today will gather at 4 p.m. Eastern Time right after Kelly and Company. Please join us. Ms. Amuthan, one little finger push there. You've got, you can use the baby finger. The gateway is just that close to being open.
All right.
Nice weather out there too here.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, it is. A little rainy, just the way you like it.
So just a little. What did we talk about? The cloudiness? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. A little easier on the eyes. Enjoy your weekend. Have you set up your binge watching? I mean, there's no March Madness, so I know you have to move on to something else.
Oh, so sad. Yes. Yep. Binging some Netflix for me this weekend for sure.
Documentaries. I always enjoy watching documentaries, but glad to hear when you're talking about, hey, I've been watching this one and that's kind of cool. The only thing I don't like is the upsetting food ones that make me have to make a choice to not have something to replace
it. You still haven't watched Seaspiracy yet?
No. I keep seeing it and saying, skip ahead. Don't pile that as under your favorites.
I'll just remind you.
Mm-hmm.
Send you links.
Seems to funny enough that Netflix seems to remind me crazy enough.
Right?
Yeah. It just seems to always be in my face there. That's for sure.
It's listening.
Taking the fish off my plate. That's for sure. We will talk to you Monday here on Kelly and Company, ladies and gentlemen. And Rum, enjoy the weekend. We'll meet back here and kick things off for another week on the program Monday. And when we start, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have our tech talk. Michael Babcock will be introducing us to a new podcast directory, speaking of podcasts, the world of Discord, and familiarize us with Twitter Spaces. Bethany Deer, AMI TV reporter in Edmonton, joins us to preview an upcoming feature on AMI this week on Dustin Ritter. Also, there's a new engaging social robot playmate that helps children with autism learn and practice new social, emotional, and cognitive skills. It's called QT Robot. Monday, we learn more with the company who designed it. Once we have placed someone into a correctional institution, they lose their freedom. But what about their other rights? Danielle McLaughlin discusses on Know Your Rights. And Bill returns with another edition of The Buzz. Producers for this show, Jeff Ryman, Ramya Muthan, Marianne Dion Jones, technical producer Matt Agnew, audio technical supervisor Paula Dineen. Our manager here at AMI Audio is Andy Frank. Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Stay safe. Gateway open for you. Get out of here, will you? Earlier in the week, we had the students on from the W. Ross McDonald School, and I've got to say I really absolutely loved having them on because it brought me back to that time when I was at the school running my own little radio station using one of these little illegal Mr. Microphone things that were the size of an actual bug that you could tie to someone's curtain, clip it on, and literally eavesdrop if you were then 120 feet away. But I used to use that to run my little radio station in a dormitory. So when they come on, it reminds me of the ability to play broadcasting. And we didn't do that back then. I mean, we learned a little bit about it, but there wasn't a communications class like these guys have. And it really always, when they come in, at least it's one of those segments where you almost feel selfish because it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, that takes me back. Almost a segment just created and just playing off to myself. When I know there's some alumni and those of you out there who weren't familiar with the school or even that kind of lifestyle, institutionalized school where students came in on Sunday nights and left Fridays in a different era, a different time outside of COVID. But when they get tinkering around with their stuff and we're always amazed by what they do. Well, I say that as an older person who says, wow, took me forever to create this and that using cassette tapes or reel to reel. And what they're able to do sitting at a computer after recording stuff, importing content and working with it. It's just so amazing to think about. And not just at their age. I'm talking people even younger. So fedoras off. Always enjoy it. And hopefully you feel the same and learn a little bit about these guys. But also where I'm blown away is by their professionalism. Not just coming on the show. The pieces they're creating and their talent. So really have to say good luck to these guys going forward. If this is some career they want to get into, hopefully they have that good luck. But the horizons are open for so many things related to recording and creating content. Wow.
You've been listening to the complete Kelly and Company podcast experience.
The Real Deal airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platforms.